John O'Dowd, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, we'll be talking about a hugely significant report into primary school education in a moment. But the protests and the disputes are affecting children, and indeed children from both sides of the community.
Well, there's a question to be put to those who... And it amazes me that the media are still referring to these as protests. It's not a protest to illegally block a road, and they still refer to riots as a protest. A riot is a riot. It's not a protest. So a protest, everybody has a right to be involved in legitimate protest. I have legitimately protested myself on many, many occasions. But when we see, and the caller has referred to schools being closed down, people being disrupted coming home from their work, roads being blocked, riots, attempted murder, intimidation, they are no longer protests. Those are acts of violence. Those are riots. Those are attempts to kill. And the media needs to step up to the mark here as well and start identifying these things for what they are. And I also think...
But John O'Dowd, I'll defend the media on that accusation. Whenever we had the protests, that's what we called them, in the Lower Ormo, people blocked the road. Those were protests and the roads were blocked.
And if a situation broke out afterwards where a riot occurred, did you continue to refer to it as a protest?
Well, we call a riot a riot. I had a discussion with a lady called...
No, I was watching news programmes last night with mass youths attacking the police. I was watching scenes last night of burnt-out police vehicles with a police officer lucky to escape with their life, and the media were still referring to these matters as protests. They're not protests.
Well, on this program, we've called them riots. I'd be very surprised, if burning cars, rockets being fired, petrol bombs being hurled into police cars is described as anything else other than a riot by the local media.
Well, then... Frank, with respect to you, I suggest that you review media coverage over this last period of time. And I think there's also a duty on the police now also to come out and describe these matters for what they are. There's nothing legitimate about blocking the workers going home from work out of Belfast last night. There's nothing legitimate about what happened on the Broadway. There's nothing legitimate about the attack on the pub in Armagh last night. These protests are not, when you're involved in that, it is not legitimate. The scenes on our television screens of hundreds of masked men marching in and out of Belfast on Saturday was not a legitimate protest. So none of these things are... The myth that has been cast over these things as being legitimate or being some form of peaceful protest or being some form of reaction to a democratic vote of a democratic institution, all that needs to end.
What do you want the police to do whenever the roads are blocked? What if you were the police commander, what would your tact be?
The police commander is the best person to make a decision at the time on the ground. And there's no point, it's easy for me sitting in Stormont or elsewhere to say the police should be doing A, B or C.
But do you want to see snatch squads? Do you want to see them go in the way they went in the Lower Ormond?
No, I don't want to see heavy-handed police. I don't want to see citizens being battened off the road. But I do think that there is a duty on the police and on the media and others to send out a clear message. If you go onto a road and you block it, you're not involved in a legitimate protest. You're involved in an illegal protest. If you involve yourself in a march into a city centre without filing for it, that is an illegal march. So the police and the media need to be sending out a clear message to citizens so citizens understand exactly what they're becoming involved in. And I suspect that if a number of citizens are made aware of the fact that what the actions they're involved in are either illegal or could lead to them into illegal activity, a significant number of citizens would step back and say, no, I don't want to be involved in that. That's not the message coming across at the moment.
We are lucky at this point in time that no one has been killed as a result of the protests stroke riots. We are very, very lucky. Is it worth it, that flag on the City Hall, if someone does end up getting killed?
Well, firstly, Frank, I came on to your show to talk about a good news story. I didn't come on to talk about the protests. I came on to talk about an international good news story, and I think we need some good news stories coming out of this place.
Yeah, and I will talk about that right now in about 30 seconds, but is it worth it? Is that flag and the dispute about the flag worth it?
The dispute about the flag is not the making of the democratic system. There is a small number, and it has to be recognised, as a small number of people who have decided to go out onto the streets and rack and ruin. The democratic decision of the Belfast City Council was the right decision. And why was it the right decision? Because the people who are elected to make the decisions in Belfast City Council made the decision.
Give us the good news story.
Right, well, and I think all our citizens at this time could do with a bit of a good news story. This morning, about half an hour ago, there was an international education report published, And I can assure you that education ministers and education journalists across the world will be studying this report. And throughout the report, our education system will be mentioned. And it will be mentioned for a very good reason. We are now in our primary schools. A study of our P6 pupils in May and June of last year shows that our primary schools are the highest ranked primary schools in the English-speaking world in numeracy and literacy. So despite all the bad news coming out of our society at the moment, across the world there will be people sitting down and reading a very, very important report, and throughout it they will be seeing through our education system bold throughout it, saying, well, how have they done that there? Why are pupils in Belfast and Ballymena and Bangor and Cross MacLean and Newton Ords, how come they're there sitting? They are the highest ranked English in the English-speaking world students in English and numeracy and literacy. That is the sort of news stories we want to be coming out of our society at this time.
It might be because from P1 right through to P7, they're being prepared for the transfer test.
Well, I suspect that's not the case. But I knew right away that was going to be the first question I was asked in regard to this matter. It might be because we have changed our curriculum over this last number of years. It might be because we have introduced a foundation stage at P1 and P2, where children are now being taught age-appropriate education. It may be because of the investments that we have put into early years. It may be the standard of our teaching. It may be the dedication of our school principals, our boards of governors, our classroom assistants and all our school staff who dedicate themselves to our young people. It's down to the hard work of all those sorts of people. And these assessments that these young people have gone through are across the socioeconomic divide. They are across all abilities within our primary schools. And they're coming across that over 80% of our primary school children are world leaders in numeracy and literacy. So if it is to do with the fact that they're being taught towards a test, then why does that test tell over 60% and the unregulated tests you refer to tell them that they're failures? These international assessments are telling them that they're world leaders.
John O'Dowd, I appreciate your time this morning. I leave that question to everyone who's considering education this morning. Unfortunately, it isn't the main topic today, and I do realise that it is a good news story when such a pat on the back is being aimed at our primary education sector, and everyone involved in it should feel good as a result of being the creme de la creme of Europe.
Yes, thanks. But Frank, one of the discussions in relation to the protests over this last period of time has been the lack of educational attainment within Protestant working class communities, and there is evidence to point us towards that direction. The lack of education within our society, the lack of hope within our society, and the debate has been, well, how can we show these people there's a different way? But then why should we not debate further the implications of these reports today? Because these reports today show that there is another way, and these reports today show that our education system is offering hope to everyone, regardless of colour, class or creed. And that's where the debate should be. If we're looking a way out of the difficulties of this last number of days, the difficulties and the conflict which our society is struggling to get itself out of, our education system and our primary school system is showing that there is a way out of it.
Yes, but John, and you know as well as I know, some of the people who've been speaking most vocally about the protest, promoting the protest, are Cambridge educated.
Well, there's also that in it as well. But I'm talking about those people who are out on the streets. Those people, not those people who are advocating protest, but those people who are going to end up in jail because of involving themselves in protest. Those are the people where education can assist and get them out of this system and allow them to challenge the Cambridge educated people and challenge them on a fair playing field and say, well, you may be advocating protest, but I'm not going to jail because of your protest. And that's the people we need to equip. Those working class communities, those working class Protestant Jews, who as a result of the Cambridge educated people are going to end up in jail because they've been given a message which is the wrong message.
And they may feel that they are well educated in their own local school. They may feel that they are going through a GCSE or A-level system in one of the grammar schools, but they're still out on the roads protesting. Well, that's a pretty broad brush to say that everyone who's protesting is in some way thick.
You can also go through GCSEs and A-levels and not attend a grammar school. Our non-selective schools also provide those as well. There may well be that case, but then they have the equipment and they have been skilled up to make decisions for themselves. And if they've made a decision for themselves to be standing on that road or to be involving themselves in RAT, and they have the educational ability to think otherwise, then they've no one else to blame but themselves.
John O'Dowd, Education Minister, thank you. There's a whole lot to that in terms of debate and discussion.